Morning, everyone. Today's Daf Mila, Daf Yud Beis. We started the third parak of Mila yesterday, and we're continuing. More discussion about Mila by Karbanos. The third parak will be a further continuation of this topic. First parak, if you remember, Mila by Karban, that's Pasul. Second parak of Mila is Mila by Karban, that's Kasher. And then what now becomes of the third parak? Third parak is talking about Mila by other things that have to do with Karbanos. So, for example, the first mission that we talked about yesterday was about Vlad Chatos, Tumur Chatos, Chatos Shemesu Baaleo, all the Chatos, and there are two more to go, all the Chatos that need to die. So, as we learned yesterday, because the Chatos needs to die, and because it's not going to be burned on the Mizbech anymore, so at that point in time, the penalty of Mi'ilah has been terminated. Similarly, the Mishnah talked about being Mafish money for the Nazirus. There's going to be a din of Mi'ilah by the money as well. Once again, we talked about what happens when the father dies and what then becomes of the money. Then we went on to discuss yesterday, what about blood in Nesachim? Okay, blood is, the blood of an animal is not subject to Me'ilah. The reason why, there's it is going to be sprinkled on the Mizbech, but the Gemara quoted a number of drushes, three drushes we learned yesterday, in terms of why blood is not subject to Me'ilah, even after the blood's been collected in the bowl, it's still not subject to Me'ilah. And then we learned yesterday that blood, once it goes down Nachal Kidron, so then there is a Me'ilah Durabanan penalty on the blood that flows down Nachal Kidron. And as far as Nesachim is concerned, Nesachim is just the opposite. There's Me'ilah when you're Maktish Nesachim, because it will go on the Mizbech, but once you pour it down one of the Shisim of the Mizbech, so then it's no longer subject to Me'ilah, because now the mitzvah, so the mitzvah's been done. Good. We're continuing. We're in the Mishnah. We're in the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Beis, and we continue with the Mishnah. Disha Mizbech HaPanimi V'Amenorah. So there are more ashes to talk about. There's ashes inside the Beis HaMikdash. Couple weeks from now, we're going to be starting with Masechta Midos, and we're going to get a full picture, a full view of what the Beis HaMikdash looks like. But the Beis HaMikdash itself, the structure of the Beis HaMikdash, has in it the main building, if you will, the Heichal. And inside the Heichal, there were two Kalim. Both of them were very familiar with. One is the Mizbech HaZahav, the golden Mizbech, where they would burn Ketores every day. All right, half of the Ketores in the morning and half the Ketores in the afternoon. And there was also the menorah, where they lit lights. Pshuto shel mikra is they only lit during the night on the menorah. The Rambam, as we've quoted a number of times, says that they lit during the night and during the day. Anyway, but the point is that both of them are going to be producing ashes. So the Mishnah says, "Disha mizbech apnimi v'amenorah lo nenev l'molin." So there is no isra me'ilah of those ashes. Now, if you take a look at Rashi and the Mishnah, so Rashi writes the following. Disha mizbech apnimi v'amenorah. It's the first Rashi on the Mishnah. Hadeshin she'aleim hayimotziu manich leitam mizbech hachitzon makum she'aminiach chumas hadeshin shal mizbech. Where do those ashes go? Where do the ashes of the Mizbech HaZahav or the Mizbech HaKetores, either way, you could call it either one, and the menorah, where do those ashes go? So Rashi tells us, and we're going to learn this in the Gemara in just a moment, that those ashes go to the same place that the Trumas HaDeshen goes. Okay, remember, not a couple days ago we had the discussion where daily, every morning, the first avoda that's done every morning, which is really the conclusion of yesterday's avoda, is that the Kohen will go up on the ramp and go on to the Mizbeach and take a shovelful of the ashes and place it and deposit it next to the east side of the Mizbeach. Now we also learned that the Trumas HaDeshen, it's interesting, Trumas HaDeshen itself, that shovelful of ashes is still subject to Me'ilah even after it's been deposited. Oh, don't we normally say once the mitzvah has been performed, so then it's no longer subject to Me'ilah? Yeah, we do generally say that, and we also pointed out this is an exception to the rule. The part of the Torah says regarding the Trumas HaDeshen, v'samo etzel ha-mizbech, you place it by the Mizbech, and we learned via Drasha that it's samo, it's still teaching us, it's still subject to Me'ilah. Now what we're learning in addition to that is that the Mizbech HaPnimi, which also has ashes, you burn Ketores on it every day, and the menorah, you're burning wicks on it every day, not a lot of ashes, but still ashes nevertheless. So they're also going, those ashes also are going to be deposited in the same place as the Trumas HaDeshen, i.e. the east side of the ramp, towards the Mizbech. So, and I'm just reading on Rashi. Now Rashi, let me start again. Hadeshen shalem ayamotziyom anich leitzam mizbecha chitzon. Makom sheminich chumas hadeshen shalem mizbecha chitzon. V'kodem shinichu sham lo nenev lo mo'alan. So here, before you place them onto the east side of the ramp of the mizbeach, it's not subject to milah min haTorah. Now again, lo nenev lo mo'alan, that catchphrase that we're going to see time and again, means that there still is an iser of milah min derabanan. But there's no milah min haTorah. Dahachalok siv v'samo. Now why? Why should that be? And kamosha kasa b'disha mizbech achitzon. Because here, the Torah never actually says v'samo like it says regarding the mizbech achitzon. The outer mizbech, the Torah says v'samo. And that teaches me that there's a din of mi'ilah both when I take the shovel and take it off the mizbech and even after I place it next to the ramp of the mizbech. But by the ashes of the mizbech pnimi and the menorah, the Torah doesn't say the word v'samo, which means that the moment the ashes have been removed, even before I placed it on the side of the ramp, it's not subject to me'ilah.
Well, if it says lo nenem u'lamolim, the first Mishnah was me'ilah mid'rabbanan.
Correct. That's,
and it used a different
Lashon. Correct.
Okay.
It happens to be fair, I don't think I mentioned this, but Tosfos, Tosfos believes that every time it says lo nenem u'lamolim, it means that there's not even me'ilah mid'rabbanan. So, for the purposes of full disclosure, I will tell you that. But Rashi, I consistently work with Rashi. Rashi, I mean, and not just Rashi and Mila, I mean, who may not be Rashi, but Rashi throughout Chas always says lo nenev lo mo'al, it means that there is no me'ilah midoraisa. And it in other words, if you think about Rashi, it works because the expression is lo nenen. You can't get benefit from it. Well, why not? Meaning, if it's no longer subject to Mila, why can't I get benefit from it? So that's what paints Rashi into the corner and says, oh, it must be because when it says lamal, it means no mi'ilah d'oraisa. But there's still a mi'ilah d'rabbanan, which then leads us to the conclusion of lo nenin. Okay.
It's semantics, really, because Tosfos also believes you can't be have an
offer. Yeah, so according to Tosfos, the mi'ilah and hana have nothing to do with one another. Right. Correct. Meaning, the prohibition of not getting benefit from it is a totally separate issue from that of mi'ilah. Right. Hamatish dishan b'tchila mo'alam bo. Tricky line of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, what if you have the ashes and you're maktish it? Now, that's very strange. Meaning, first of all, what would motivate a person to do that? I'm not sure.
But is it theirs to maktish it?
Right. That it leads to the problem of how it's not yours. You can only be maktish something which is yours. You must have ownership over anything if you want to be maktish it. So to call this yours is hard to say. Now what you could argue, I guess you'll have to argue, I mean Rashi doesn't really speak much about this, but what you could argue is that once you take it off the Mizbech HaPnimi, it now becomes, in other words, it's done, the story's over. You want to call it Hefker, and so therefore, I guess you do have the rights to claim ownership of it. So, okay, it's strange.
But you must assume that the Beit HaMikdash is relinquishing ownership then.
Yeah. Look, it's a strange line of the Mishnah. I kind of understand it. I don't fully understand it. All right, we go on. Torin shalo igiz manam v'vnei yonashav az manam lo nenim v'lo mo'alin. And then the Mishnah says that if it comes to the birds, remember the only two birds to talk about, Tor and Ben Yonah. Remember, Tor has to be over a certain developmental stage.
After you put it onto the big pile, it already becomes having the Isra of Mila, so then you could do a Mila.
Then you're Makdish it.
And then once you do Mila, you could be Makdish it.
Correct.
You already own it.
Understood. It's still just, okay. I just don't know why, of all the things in the Masechta, right, the Gemara points to the, oh, and if he wants to be Makdish that, meaning we could have pointed to a bunch of other things. Anyway, okay. We know about that by Tor. The bird has to be over a certain developmental stage. By Ben Yonah, the bird has to be under a developmental stage. Right? We talked about this, I think, even yesterday. So, there is no Isser of Me'ilah for these birds. These birds have been sanctified, but they are not yet prepared to be put onto the Mizbeach. Remember, rule number one when we talk about Me'ilah and Karbanos is Kashe Hashem. It has to be fit to be put on the Mizbeach. Since these are not fit to be put on the Mizbeach, so consequently, they are not subject to Me'ilah. Lo nenev lo mo'alan. Now, Bishlama, Mizbeach, Achitzon, Dechsi, Bevesamo, it's a Mizbeach. Now, the Gemara says, look, I know that every morning I must go up onto the Mizbeach, take a shovelful of ashes, and put it next to the ramp of the Mizbeach, the Torah says. V'samo etzel Mizbeach, b'Mizbeach panimi minalan. But how do I know that I got to go through the same process of the ashes of the Mizbeach HaKetaris, the inner Mizbeach, the one in the Heichal, and the menorah? How do I know that I need to take those ashes and put them in the same place? So Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Krav, Asiyas Mora, Sabinot Sasah. So the Gemara turns to a very strange place to learn this from, and that is the following. The birds, I know we're not talking about birds right now, we're talking about the ashes of the Mizbeach HaKetaris, but the Torah says that when you do the avoda with the birds, so you're going to take the parts of the bird, marasavinot sasav, right, the crop in the front of the neck of the bird, and you're going to throw it. And where are you going to throw it to? You throw it to the ash pile. Yeah, if only...
To the east of the Mizbeach.
Yeah. There we go. I got it. The imena of Allah carbonal Hashem v'kriv v'natorim b'nei yonos carbonal v'kriv v'kona mizbech malakas rosho v'kir mizbech v'nimsa damal akir mizbech v'heisir es mur aso b'notzasa. Okay, so you remove the crop together with the feathers v'ishlich oso etzal mizbech and you throw it next to the mizbech kedma el mekom hadashen. East of the ramp, El Makom HaDashen, and you throw it right next to the ash pile. Okay? Good. Vishisa also bechanafav, and then there's more to read, but right now that's what we need.
Wait, you throw the feathers
together. It's one removal. And you throw it right next to the ash pile. So the Gemara says, look, Vishir is Marzab and Atsasai, Meno and Yom is Bechachitza. Now, it says next to the ash pile. As Rashi explains, right, once you say it's to the east of the ramp, what else is to the east of the ramp? There's only one thing to the east of the ramp, which is the ash pile. And so therefore it was unnecessary for the Torah to identify that the place that we're going to throw it to is going to be the ash pile. As Rashi points out, I mean, I'm paraphrasing Rashi, self-evident. All the Torah would have just needed to have said is east of the ramp. And now what the Gemara is going to do is it's going to kind of do like an about face. So why does the Torah then have to say Mekom HaDashen, the place of the ash pile? It must be that it's another ash pile, meaning a secret ash pile, if you will. So, imeinu inyo mizbech hachitzon, taneo lemi mizbech hapanimi.
Because it says openly.
Yeah, in other words, right. That's exactly the point. By Trumas Hadeshen, the Torah says straight out. So here it's alluding to some other ash pile. Oh, must be the ashes of the mizbech hakitoris and the menorah. Ema. So the Gemara says, the mizbech hachitzon, taneo inyo mizbech hapanimi. So the Gemara is not totally satisfied yet. So the Gemara over here says, well, maybe the Torah just wants to tell you where it goes. Meaning when I take the crop and throw the crop across the ramp to the east side, maybe what the Torah is just trying to tell me to do is tell me where to throw it. So again, the Gemara says, and this is how Rashi got to this conclusion, the Torah says, Eitzel Mizbech, that's enough. Meaning Eitzel Mizbech, what else is next to the Mizbeach? And more to the point, what else is to the east of the Mizbeach? The only thing that's there is a pile of ashes. So now, my Hadeshen dafil Mizbeach apanimi. So the fact that the Torah now tells us it's Hadeshen, which we already would have figured out, so therefore it's talking about the ash pile of the inner Mizbeach. And now the Gemara says, okay, but what about Menorah? So Minalan Deshen Hadeshen. So the additional hay comes to tell us that not only the ash piles of the residual ashes of the Mizbeach HaPanimi, but also the residual ashes of the menorah as well. Okay. Rabbi Shimon Omer, now, in a previous Mishnah, we had a ruling regarding birds.
But now the previous Rashi's don't make any sense because it's a different pile.
It's the same pile. Meaning that the depositing of the ashes of the Mizbeach HaPanimi is placed in the same place where you deposited
that's
the...
How we
There's not much space over there between the Mizbeach and the entrance.
Yeah, no, there was a lot of space over there, but in other words, if you talk about anything that's there, there's only one thing to the east of the ramp, and that's the ash pile. Okay, in the previous Mishnah, we quoted the viewpoint of, let's call them the Tanakama. And the Tanakama says that when you have birds, and you're Makdish birds, then they're not of the right age. Either the Ben Yonah is now too old, or the Torah is too young, so therefore it's not subject to Mila, because it's not Kachay Hashem. Now, our Mishnah is going to present a different position. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Tarn Shalom Igiyaz Manam Mo Alam Ba, B'nei Yonah Shavaz Manam Lo Nenim Lo Mo Alam Behem. So Rabbi Shimon says, look, it's different. If I have a tour that I was Makdish and it was too early, meaning it's not physically, developmentally ready, but give it some time. It'll mature.
It has the potential.
So therefore, it has potential of being Kadosh. And so therefore, it right now, even though it can't be offered on the Mizbech this very moment, but since embedded in it is a potential to be put on the Mizbech, therefore it's subject to Me'ilah right now. As opposed to the Ben Yonah, where you're Makdish it, after it's now too old, right? So therefore, it lost all of its ability to be put on the Mizbech. It never will recover. So therefore, it is not subject to Mila. Okay, that's the position of Rabbi Shimon. You want to connect this to Rabbi Shimon of Kol HaOmed Lizrok Hazarok Dami, which happens to also be the position of Rabbi Shimon. I'm prepared to hear that. So that's fine. But anyway, that's the Rabbi Shimon is arguing with the previous Mishnah.
The
Gemara is going in exactly in that direction. Okay, so Bishlam, Rabbi Shimon Kedikani Taima, Shai Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kolavar Lachar Zman, Vigdish Batoch Zman, Hareu Belo Sasev, Ein Bokaris. Now, the Gemara says, you know, I'm going to have an easy time defending Rabbi Shimon. Easy. Because Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kolavar Lachar Zman, Vigdish Batoch Zmano, Hareu Belo Sasev. We know that there was an issue in the Torah of Shechutei Chutz. You cannot shecht a carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash, a very serious offense. It's an issur kares for anyone who takes a carbon and shechts it outside the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the one thing that we've learned, and we've repeated again and again whenever we talk about Shechutei Chutz, is that it has to be something that could have been offered in the Beis HaMikdash. And then I opted not to offer in the Beis HaMikdash, but shecht it outside the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? That's an ironclad rule regarding Shechutei Chutz. The Gemara in Chulin, which Rashi here quotes, discusses the following. Let's say I take a mother and daughter carbon combination, and I shech the two of them outside the Beis HaMikdash on the same day. Okay, now let's think about this. So the mother was in full violation of Shechutei Chutz, meaning because the mother had every right to have been offered in the Beis HaMikdash, and I elected not to offer it in the Beis HaMikdash, so that's a full-blown violation of Shechutei Chutz. What about the daughter? So now we know the daughter is subject to the prohibition of Osav Esbano, meaning that you cannot shech the daughter today. Nothing to do with Karbanos has, simply having to do with the Isser of Osav Esbano. So right now, the daughter cannot be shechted today. However, by the daughter, all you need to do is just wait one day. Meaning tomorrow, this daughter will have the opportunity to be offered in the Beis HaMikdash. Good. So in other words, what term can we use to describe this daughter? The term of Mechusar Zman. Meaning it's premature. But latent in this daughter is the potential of being totally fit to be offered on the Mizbeach. And now that that's the case, now watch. As we learn together, the Gemara in Chulin says, Kol HaRai Lachar Zman, anything that's fit a little bit later on, not now, but for later on, V'Yigdishu B'Soch Zmano, and I was Makdish it within its time, Harei B'Lo Saseh, V'Ein Bo Kares. So I violate a negative prohibition, but there's no kares. Meaning it's Shechutei Chutz, but not with the full punishment of Shechutei Chutz. Meaning you violate the Isser of Shechutei Chutz, but you're not going to get the kares punishment. The kares punishment only comes when it could have been offered right now in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, but kares aside, but you get the basic idea. In other words, why did you violate Shechutei Chutz? And the answer is because it has a potential. And potential is enough to render it a carbon. So now, I look at Rabbi Shimon here in the world of Me'ilah, and I know we're talking about birds, we're not talking about animals, but principally it's the same thing. I have a bird that right now cannot be offered on the Mizbech. Okay, but it's got potential. And just like by the Isser of Shechutei Chutz, you're going to be violating the Isser of Shechutei Chutz for an animal that has potential, so too, you can extend that to the idea of Me'ilah. You'll be violating Me'ilah as long as there's potential for this animal to be born on the Mizbech. Okay, so potential Kachay Hashem is considered Kachay Hashem. Good. So we're good. That's an easy way to defend Rabbi Shimon. Ela Rabbanan. Now it's funny, by the way. In other words, I understand what the Gemara did, but that position that we quoted regarding Shchut Echutz is authored by Rabbi Shimon. So all we did was explain Rabbi Shimon using Rabbi Shimon. So I'm just. It's a ha'ara. It's just a note on my part, but we move on. El Rabbanan Maishnam Imichus Rizman. But now we turn to the Chachamim. Now the Chachamim clearly argue with Rabbi Shimon, because that's the Chachamim of the previous Mishnah. And the Chachamim say that even an immature bird, an immature tor, is not subject to Me'ila. So the Gemara says now, the Chachamim are also big believers in potential. Now how do I know that? Because they have this idea regarding Mechusar's mind. Now, where do we see this regarding the Chachamim? So again, we have to turn back to Rashi. And now we turn to Rashi, and we are three lines after the lines become wide, and Rashi writes like this. Ela l'rabban etana kama darmelo ne'anim v'lam olim ma'ishna mechusar's mind de'behema de'kayim alan shenichnas l'dir li'isaser. So Rashi quotes a Gemara that we did not that long ago in the end of Bechoros, where we talk about annually tithing our animals that are born over the course of this year. Meister Behema. Now, every animal that's born this year gets to go through the fence and get to be counted. And what happens to number 10 is number 10 is invested with Kedusha. The Kedusha of Meister Behema. Now, every animal that's born this year, even if an animal is born all of 4 days ago, 3 days ago, it's still going to be subject to the counting. Now, as we all know, an animal cannot be brought as a carbon until it's eighth day. So day three and day four of its life, it's premature. It's mechusar zman. And meanwhile, the Gemara says in Bechoros, and Rashi quotes over here, Kedarmin beperek maisa behema mechusar zman, nechnas ledir leisaser, dialef avara avame bechor. Ma bechor karsh lefnei zman no shari karsh merecham, af mechusar zman nami. She'eno ben shmona karsh lefnei zman no. So we learn it out through Gzera Shava from Bechor, but the basic idea is that by Meiser Behema, even though the animal is premature, it could be a 3 day old, and by the way, they can walk, the 3 day old animal, so it's going to be invested with Kedusha, even though it's Mechusar's man. V'krav lachar's mano. Now, as far as actually offering on the Mizbeach, obviously, you'll wait until day eight. So, but nevertheless, though, you have over here, according to the Chachamim, this idea of potential. And then Rashi continues. V'hani torin nami, liktishu kodim zmanam, v'lim obahu. So these immature torim, that you are matish. So why don't we say the same thing? I.e., they should be invested with Kedusha, and therefore subject to Me'ila. And what's the difference? Essentially, this is what the Gemara is asking now. What's the difference for Meister Behema, where it will be invested with Kedusha, even though it's premature, and our immature Torim, which according to the Tanakhama is not invested with Kedusha?
We don't
ask it on a future event, do we? Well, you can make a transaction with a future event, but this is not a future event.
This is
here, it just right now is not fit, but it will be fit after some time. So the Gemara's response is, Amre, they said, meaning this is those who are in the base measures who are mulling this over, mechusar zman mida dehavi abamum, the bar pigeon who, avahani ofos, came in the ain mum paso ba ofos, ain la ofos pigeon. Gemara says like this, look, animals and birds are just, you'll forgive me for saying this, but they're two different animals. Okay, they're not the same. Look, by an animal becomes blemished. So what can you do with the animal? Or redeem it. Animals are redeemable. And even blemished animals, or specifically blemished animals, are redeemable. So when it comes to animals, you have there's more flexibility. Animals are just more flexible creatures in the world of Kedusha. So I can see by an animal how you can invest the animal with Kedusha, even though right now it's not fit, but it's okay. Because animals are just, you know, they flex a little bit better. And I see that because I can even be poed to them when they get a blemish. Birds are inflexible when it comes to Kedusha. When I am Makdish a bird, and it becomes blemished, now it's going to take a lot for a bird to get blemished, they have to lose a limb, but if birds become a Balmum, can I redeem them? No. Birds are not redeemable. Okay? Those are the facts on the ground. So if that's true, so the Gemara says, so now you understand. When it comes to animals, that's mechusar zman, that's worse than being a baal mum, it's about the same. And since a baal mum is subject to having kedusha and being redeemed, so mechusar zman also can accept kedusha. But when it comes to birds, birds are totally inflexible in terms of kedusha. Either they are or they aren't. If I have a bird that's a baal mum, can I redeem it? No. So you see that there's much more inflexibility when it comes to the kedusha of birds. So therefore, the Chachamim will say that when it comes to birds, if they're fit right now for the Beis HaMikdash, for the Mizbeach, therefore they're subject to being Makdish. But if not, then no. So the Gemara says, so they're not exactly the same. Obviously, now that you said that for the Chachamim, you're going to have to somehow figure out a way to defend Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon obviously doesn't buy into this argument. Amar Ula. Okay, we're continuing the Gemara. We're in the middle of Yud Beis Amud Aleph, and the Gemara now discusses a point that we made earlier in the Masechta. Right, the day one of the Masechta. Amar Ulam Rav Yochanan Kachin Shemesu Yatzamin Dei Me'ilah Dvar Torah. Okay, a carbon dies. Okay, not because I shechted the animal, simply because it died. And now Ula says, quoting Rav Yochanan, his Rebbe, that it's no longer subject to Me'ilah. And we explained that back then, and it makes perfect sense, because things that are subject to Me'ilah are only things that are going to go on the Mizbech. Once this animal dies, it's no longer going to go on the Mizbech. And Rashi further articulates that what are you going to do? You're going to redeem it? You can't do that as well, because the only good that you're going to do by redeeming it is then feed it to your dog, meaning you can't eat, it's a nevela. So there's no point in redeeming it. Ain podim as a kachim lachim l'klavim. You can't redeem it as well. So therefore, it's just simply now it's over. It's done, and there's no mitzvah that's been performed. But there just simply is no function to it. It's not subject to me'ilah. Now you got to read his words carefully. He says it's not subject to me'ilah in a Torah, which also means that there's me'ilah in the Rabbanim. Okay, hold that thought, because we're going to come back to that in just a second. We read on. Yosef ula v'kamal hashmai tamalei Rav Chista. Man shamas lach ula Rav Yochanan Rabcha. So Rav Chista says, well, who told you all this? Meaning, who told you this? Who told your Rebbe this? V'chik dusha shebehen lehechan halacha. Meaning, what happens to the kedusha? It just disappears? By virtue of the fact that you're saying there's no longer me'ilah, you know what you're also saying? You're saying there's no longer kedusha. The two go hand in hand. So, but where'd it go? Kedusha just evaporated? Amar lei tikshe masnisen. So, Ula says, well, really, you're so bothered by that question? I understand. Let me point you into the direction of a Mishnah, specifically our Mishnah. Taran shelo higiyaz manah, v'neyona shavaz manah, lo nenin v'lo molin. So, our Mishnah says that when I have a ben yona that gets over age, he's now too old, so therefore he loses the Isser of Me'ilah. And now, allow me to ask you a very simple question. Hachanami, Neima, Kedusha Shemem Leich Halacha. This bird, just 1 month ago, was fit to be offered onto the Mizbech. And now, because it's too old, so therefore it's not fit any longer. And so now, my friend, where did the Kedusha go? What happened to the Kedusha? Even if, I assume even if you were makdish the bird when it was fit, and then it got too old, so it's going to lose the Isser of Me'ilah. I assume that's how we understood the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, so what do you see over here? You see that it's possible for a bird, in this case a bird, in our case an animal, but in this regard it's the same, that it has Kedusha, and now because it's no longer fit, in the case of birds because it's too old, in the case of the animal because it's dead, either way, it's no longer fit to be put in the Mizbeach, the Kedusha just simply dissipates. Fine. So, Amar Lech, Modin Alach Deika Me'ilah Medirabanan. So, then the conversation kind of turns. He says, okay, you're right. I hear you on that point. But the Kasha Li, but here's the difficulty. Me'ika Me'ida De Me'ikara Lo Isbe Me'ilah Ula V'Sof Isbe Me'ilah. Now, the question of this, the new question that's being articulated over here, not that straightforward in terms of what he's asking. There is a Tosfos, it's a long Tosfos, it starts on the bottom of this Amud, and it spills over to the next page, but Tosfos basically says, Tosos actually gives a walking shot through the Gemara over here, and it fits very good. If you'd like to see this inside, it's on the next Amud, where he explains the Gemara line by line, and it starts, I'd say about 10 lines from the top of the Tosfos, Lekach Nir Lefarish Tahachi. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to read the Gemara, and I'm just going to insert Tosfos in pshat, because it really is, it seems to be just very straightforward pshat in the Gemara. And the Gemara basically is asking like this. Look, let's go over the statement of Ula again. Ula says that when you have a carbon that dies, so therefore there's no Me'ilam in a Torah. But what does that also mean? It means there's just Me'ilam in the Rabbanan. Good. Now, he doesn't make any distinction whatsoever. Meaning it doesn't matter what carbon it is. It could be a Chatos, an Asham, an Ola, a Shlamim. Could really be any carbon. Once it dies, it's no longer subject to Me'ilam in a Torah, but it is subject to Me'ilam in the Rabbanan. Okay. Now, by a chatos, by an asham, by an ola, you understand. It really makes good sense. Because what happens is that while the animal was alive, it was subject to milah and a Torah, and then, post-mortem, the milah's gone. But the chachamim stepped in and said, wait a second, this animal, right, just a couple minutes before it died, had an isser of milah and a Torah, so to just simply go from Me'ilam and a Torah to nothing, that's too much. Too much. So what the Chachamim did is they slapped a Me'ilah de Rabbanan on the dead animal. Okay, that part I get. But now let's try this out by Shlamim.
Right.
By Shlamim, Kachim Kalim, it didn't have Me'ilah while it was alive. So here's the part where now you're confusing me. Because it didn't have Me'ilah when it's alive, and now it's dead. And now you're going to slap a Me'ilah de Rabbanan after it's dead? That part doesn't speak to me. I don't understand. Why would the Chachamim do that? It didn't have Me'ilah when it was alive, and now you want to introduce Me'ilah to the dead carcass of the Shlamim? That's where I'm confused by.
It only applies to the Imurim
after Zrikas Adam, and because the animal died, you didn't have Zrikas Adam. That's the confusing part. So the Adika Me'ilah, Madurama Vikashli, Mi'ika Me'ilah, Mi'kara, Lo Isbe Me'ilah, right now. Now, it's funny, the Gemara doesn't talk about this whole Shlamim business. So, before Tosfos, you didn't see the question as clearly, but now after hearing Tosfos, now you really hear the Gemara's question very clearly. So, Lo Isbe Me'ilah, Ula Visof Isbe Me'ilah. So, what a strange phenomena. There was no Me'ilah by Shlamim, and now it's dead, and now you're introducing a Me'ilah Midrabbanan? Why would the rabbis do that? Velo, so the Gemara says, look, I don't know if I can explain to you why, but there is such a thing. Let's go back to yesterday's daf. In yesterday's daf, what do we learn? That blood, when you shech the animal, when you accept it in the bowl, when you sprinkle the mizbech, there's no me'ilah by the blood. What happens when it goes down and it travels down Nachal Kidron? Me'ilah midrabbanan. At least we see that it's out there. Dami karaleis bo me'ilah v'sofis bo me'ilah dinan. We learned in yesterday's daf. So the Gemara says, well, over there I can kind of understand it. So there I kind of understand why that is. Because blood, actually, if you go back a step, is subject to Me'ilah. Meaning, from blood, we didn't go from no Me'ilah to Me'ilah. We went from yes Me'ilah, no Me'ilah, back to yes Me'ilah. Okay, now how does that work? Watch, it's a little strange. But let's say the animal's alive, it's a carbon, and we do a little bloodletting. Okay? Which was very popular back then. We did bloodletting with the animal. So therefore we're extracting the blood from the animal. That blood that we extract from the animal is part of the animal. Just like the animal is a carbon and subject to Kedusha, and therefore subject to Me'ilah, the blood that we extract also is subject to Kedusha, therefore subject to Me'ilah.
Some of the movement,
even? Huh?
Does it make a movement for the animal?
Yeah, interesting. Let's assume he did it without making a mum or making the animal trefa, either way. Okay, it's a fair point. But meanwhile, the point that the Gemara is articulating is that by blood, at least internally, when the animal was alive, there was at least conceptually an idea of Me'ilah by the blood. Now I shecht with the animal and the blood's coming out. Okay, there's no longer me'ilah. But at least if you go back one step, there was me'ilah. So that's why I can understand by me'ilah, when it flows down Nachal Kidron, so then there's going to be me'ilah again on the dam. But now you're telling me, however, that by shlamim, where there was never me'ilah by karbon shlamim when you were maktishit, and now the animal dies, so now the chachamim slapped a din of me'ilah on the carcass of the shlamim, that I don't understand. And the Gemara ends the discussion there kind of awkwardly, meaning, okay, no resolution.
No bottom line.
Is it that me'ilah exists for everything that you can possibly sell and then get the proceed?
Okay, good. Very good. Okay, you're hitting on an important point. Just wait till the end of today's daf, because essentially the Gemara later on will make that very point. Gufa amar avuna marav amakis dam lebeim eskacha master ba'na umalam bo. Okay, so blood. Okay, we're talking about a carbon. So I extract the blood out of the animal while it's alive, so the blood is subject to me'ilah. Good. Okay, so the Gemara now says, yeah, but we're going to learn in the Mishnah, and we're going to learn it later this morning, that if a carbon lays an egg, obviously we're talking about a bird, or if a carbon gives milk, okay, obviously we're talking about an animal, so that milk, the milk and eggs, is not subject to me'ilah. Now, lo nenen, you can't get an offer from it, but it's not subject to me'ilah. It becomes now an external part of the animal. It's not considered part and parcel of the animal. So I'm lay, and mean, so that you hear the question? So when I take blood out of the animal, the blood is still subject to me'ilah, because the blood is part of the animal. But the eggs and the milk of a carbon are not subject to me'ilah. What's the difference?
You can't use it. No, because that's coming by itself. You're not extracting the egg. You're not extracting
the blood. Yeah. The
milk.
Not the blood of Hakazas Adam. Meaning, if I bloodlet the animal, that blood is not going to go on the mizbeach. The only blood that goes on the mizbeach is the blood after shechita. But any
blood has the potential to go to mizbeach.
Oh, so it had the potential.
But milk.
Okay, that's okay. Good. That I hear. So I'm like kikamrin lagabe dam delo miskayem is below dam. So the Gemara offers the following explanation. Look, blood is such an integral part of the animal. The animal simply cannot exist without the blood. Okay, blood's important. Aval chalav dekamekaima below chalav lo. But milk, what's milk is so essential? No, milk is a byproduct of the animal. But the animal can exist without milk. So therefore, once the milk comes out of the milk is considered now separate from the animal. The animal is a carbon. The milk that comes out is not necessarily a carbon. It's not a carbon. Therefore, not subject to me'ilah. Okay. Right? Think about this. This is so true by every single carbon. It's kind of the thing that we don't actually think about, but it's a real issue. Meaning, the animal wastes, right? And excrement. And that excrement that comes down out of an animal, that's a carbon. What's the status of that excrement? Is that excrement carbon? Derivative of a carbon? Byproduct of a carbon? And does it have the kedusha? And is there an isra
mila? Like milk or like blood?
Right, is it correct? In other words, is it like milk or is it like blood? So here we have a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Va'perisha b'chatzar einenim v'ayimolin, v'yiblu damal lalishka. So here, right, Hedy, exactly as you suggested earlier, so what they do is they sell it. They sell it, and therefore they gain the proceeds. But the point, however, is for our purposes right now, the thing to really focus in on is that there's no iser of me'ilah by the excrement. Yes, the Bedek Abayis is going to come and collect it and sell it, but right now just focus in on there's no me'ilah. What's the difference between excrement and blood? And again, I think even without the Gemara, we could easily articulate it, but that's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara, when setting up the question, kind of, you know, puts this into a corner. You know, the animal can't exist without excrement. Okay, right. Amri, my irya, hadain perish. Right now, you hear the language of the Gemara over here. It's almost like Yerushalmi sounding. Hadain perish daman alma kaasile azo. Hi, Asi Achrina. Okay. In other words, when you talk about excrement, right, you got to talk about input and output. Right. What is excrement? Excrement's not really part of the body of the animal. It is food that was eaten by the animal, digested, and whatever's left over, the waste is waste, and sent out. So there really is, in other words, when you talk about the excrement, it really is not part of the guf ha behema. It's rejected food. And la fukidam, migufahu, but blood really is part of the animal. So even if I remove blood from the animal, I extract blood of the animal, but still that blood has the din of me'ila. Okay, hakatan lo nenev lo ma'al v'damav l'lishka, I'm sorry, migufa, sorry. Hakitani, hukitani, whatever. Lo nenev lo ma'al v'damav l'lishka. So one of the Gemara just goes over just one of the points that we said, which is that what happens to the excrement, the manure, is that it's collected by the Bedek HaBayis and then sold. Misayil el Reb Lazar damar Reb Lazar kol makom shamru chachamim kadosh v'eino kadosh damav yupul lishka. Anytime we have the words kadosh v'eino kadosh, now where do we have those words? We don't. Kadosh v'eino kadosh is synonymous with lonen v'lo mawalen, meaning that the Gemara basically has two ways to describe the same circumstance. When you have a carbon that loses the, or not a carbon, but any kadosh item that loses its din of me'ila, but still you shouldn't benefit from it, either we'll call it lonen v'lo mawalen, which is what we've been doing, or we'll also call it kadosh v'eino kadosh. It's in limbo. It doesn't have kedusha. Oh, but it does have kedusha. What? Meaning it's in this limbo state of not really being subject to me'ila, but still pretty much property of the Beis HaMikdash. If you ever find that term, and we use that term right now for the excrement, the eggs, the milk, animals that die. In other words, a whole host of, right, the ashes of the menorah, and the ashes of the in other words, we use that expression a lot. Anytime you see that expression, now what happens? The blood right, more examples are popping into my head. The blood that goes down Nachal Kidron. Right, anytime you see the expression of lo nen and v'lo mo'alin, it means that now Bedek HaBayis has the right to sell it. And obviously, once they sell it, so then the money goes to the Beit HaMikdash, and you, the purchaser, obviously now have full rights to the item that you just purchased. Good. Okay, let's finish up. We have a Mishnah and a little bit of Gemara. Chalav HaMukdash Mu'Beit Seter lo nen and v'lo mo'alin. Sounds familiar because it is. The Gemara just quoted this. Milk of a carbon, eggs of a carbon. So lo nen v'lo mo'alin. So there's no issur me'ila, but you can't get benefit from it because it's still property of the Beis HaMikdash, as we just learned a moment ago. They have the right to sell it now. But you yourself, however, cannot help yourself to these things, but there's no issur me'ila. B'med dvar mamor mikashim mizbech. Now, when is that true? That's true regarding carbon, an animal that is earmarked for a carbon. But let's say I take a chicken and I'm makdish a chicken. Right? You heard me correctly. A chicken. Now, a chicken cannot be offered on the Mizbech as it's not one of the candidates that can be offered on the Mizbech. It's a kosher animal, can't be offered on the Mizbech. So now when I'm makdish a chicken, what am I essentially saying? Bedek HaBayis. Value. So now whenever we're talking about value, so we're in a different ball game altogether. There's going to be an Isser of Me'ila on the chicken, but more so on the value of the chicken, right? But in other words, there's still an Isser of Me'ila, a bona fide Isser of Me'ila. So here, I no longer look at Kachi Hashem as being my guideline in terms of when there is or there isn't Me'ila. In other words, there just simply is Me'ila on the chicken, and by extension, any derivative of the chicken. If the chicken increases, i.e., it produces an egg, there's going to be as much a din of me'ila on the egg as there is on the chicken. We see by the carbon tour or the carbon benyona, so there it's very specific. Me'ila is only because it's going to go on the mizbech. If it produces something that's not going to go on the mizbech, i.e. an egg, so that egg is not subject to me'ila, min haTorah. Right? See the difference? So the Mishnah says that when it's kachay bedek habayis, hiktish tanagolos ma'alan bo v'beit asah. So therefore, if a makdish a chicken, so there will be a me'ila both by it and by its egg. Chamora, if I'm makdish a donkey, ma'alim ba'o v'chalba. So there, there's going to be a din of me'ila both on it and on the milk. And an interesting example chosen by the Mishnah, a donkey, meaning
donkey
it,
milk.
Right, donkey milk. It's not even a kosher animal, but doesn't matter. Meaning because the milk has value. You may not be able to eat it, but it certainly has value. It's not also about nah. And so therefore, there's going to be a din of me'ila both on the donkey and on the milk of the donkey as well, because there it only had kedushas bedek habayis. It's interesting. The kedushas bedek habayis can actually result in a chumrah over that of kedushas mizbech. Now, the Gemara's over a question over here. Question answer of the Gemara. It's only one question, one answer. It's a little tricky. The Gemara wants to know alagabe mizbech yaktashe kedushas damim lo isbe meila. Look, if you go over our Mishnah again, our Mishnah's first example was Kedushas Mizbeach. Now, Kedushas Mizbeach can come in one of two ways. Either I'm being makdish the animal itself to be offered on the Mizbeach, or I can earmark its value so that its value is going to go on the Mizbeach. We've talked about this a number of times in the past.
Can we say that if the animal itself is
yes, we
the
yes,
itself, it gets upgraded to korban automatically?
Yes, we have certainly said that. Could be, I don't know if I'm right. Just leave it as a good question. You're right, we have said that. So, but nevertheless, though, I can be makdish an animal vis-a-vis its value being earmarked for the Mizbeach. So, now, if I do that, so then essentially I'm no longer looking at the animal as an animal per se, I'm looking at vis-a-vis its value. Now, if that's true, so then if it produces an egg, i.e. it's a bird, or if it produces milk, meaning it's an animal, so there, the egg and milk that's produced should have kedusha, meaning it should be subject to me'ila. So essentially what the Gemara is going to say is, right, correct. Amar Rav Papa, chesurim achzor v'hachi ketani. In fact, Rav Papa says you're going to have to reread the Mishnah again a little more carefully. And that's pretty much what the Mishnah is saying. B'med devarim amorim kishehikdish kedushas aguf legabe mizbeach. When I'm makdish the animal itself to be offered on the mizbeach, so then eggs and milk are not subject to me'ila, because eggs and milk are not going on the mizbeach. It's not kachay Hashem. Aval ikdish kedushas damim legabe mizbeach, but if I'm earmarking the animal and the bird so that only its value is going to go up onto the mizbeach, so then if there's any increase in value, it laid an egg, it produced milk, the egg and milk are going to be subject to me'ila. Nasa kemi sheikdish la bedek abayis. It's like you were makdish from the get-go for bedek abayis, which we know the result is, any increase, any dividend, is going to be subject to me'ila. And that's what the Mishnah then articulates. Sheikdish trying to go small and ba'a, uve beitza sa'a, chamora, mo'al and ba'a, v'chalba. Right. If I'm makdish a chicken, the egg that comes out is going to be subject to me'ila. If I'm makdish a donkey, the milk that comes outside is going to also be subject to me'ila. And if I'm makdish an animal, so that its value goes to the mizbeach, so anything it produces is going to be subject to me'ila. Okay? Talk today about the ashes of the mizbeach hapanimi and the menorah. Slightly different halacha than that of the ashes of the mizbeach hachitzon. We talked about the immature tor and the mature and the over mature ben yonah, whether it can be subject to mila or not. Machlok is between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon, and then we finished the day talking about eggs and milk. Eggs and milk sometimes have mila, sometimes do not, depending on whether it's for the mizbech or for its value. Okay, good. All right, we continue tomorrow. An extra session of learning tomorrow, just to finish up Krisus. Tomorrow, Mirz Hashem, we'll be done. We'll finish up Krisos. So if you want to join me for Krisos, a little Krisos learning, a little extra learning tomorrow, 6:30 before Mincha, tomorrow afternoon in the social hall, and then Daf will be a regular time between Mincha and Marav. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos. Refuah Shlema for Fal Zakai Ben, Avram Ben Yakir Avigail, and have a good Shabbos. רחנאי בן אקשה מארץ הקדוש ברוך הוא זעק וסוע פיך חבר המצווה מצווה שנאמר נחפץ למעסיקו יגדו תורה וידיר